Hey everyone, you're listening to the Jimmy and Dave's Mixtape Podcast, and what are we talking about today, Jimmy?
Well, first, we're going to talk about Now That's What I Call Music, Volume 10. Then we're going to talk about music that we currently actually enjoy listening to. Then we're going to talk about the Rolling Stone Top 500 Albums of All Time. We're going to wrap it up by talking about Incubus.
So sit back and enjoy the show. Okay, it is an exciting day. How are you feeling, Jimmy?
I'm good. Barely got all that intro in. It's a long, got a long one today.
Got a long one.
A lot
Let's
of things.
See. Let's get started.
Should I start off with a disclaimer where I might be extra D-baggy today?
starting right how we want it. And I already moved some of the songs out of order, so the Now That I Call Music might be out of order. Here we go. Starting with our favorites. Let's talk a little bit about where we're at right now. We are in 2002, and Now That I Call It Music Volume 10 is becoming a factory of just coming out every couple of months at this point. And I think you can notice by some of the songs.
Quality over quantity. Reverse
yes.
that. Quantity over quality.
So, the first song on this one is Britney Spears' Overprotected.
I don't know if I've ever heard this song before.
I cannot act like I have either. I don't remember this one at all.
But don't worry. We're going to talk about Britney later on in this episode.
Yes. But it's weird to me that it's a Britney song that, well, I guess it's not weird, because this is the point where I can't say I'm that familiar with Britney. Of course, I remember the string one. Toxic. Who doesn't forget
She's
that?
She's just a girl.
That one too. Yes. But these are ones I don't remember. So a lot of these, I'm going to be honest, I don't remember that much.
I feel like we should also say, because one of her main fans, aka my wife, told me that we sound kind of ignorant at some of these. And I think we should stress that we're not experts at this pop music in 2002. We're not talking about this because we think we're smart. We're talking about it because
it's content, baby.
It's content, baby.
We really always look back at that day that we said we should talk about Now That's What I Call Music as a joke, and then we tried to start it, and now we're kind of stuck in it. I don't know how much longer it's going to live, but we'll keep going until...
Yeah, it's going to turn around. It started out kind of okay.
I don't know. It's going to get rough, because it gets to the end, and we'll get to the end soon, but let's just keep going, because next, we have Kylie Minogue, which I gotta admit, this is a song I do remember when it came out, and it is a song I enjoy. I enjoyed, and I still enjoy it now.
Oh, I remember it. It was better in my mind. I remembered it more fondly than now. It's much more...
Were you listening to this before Incubus or after Incubus?
Do you mean, like, this week or back in 2000?
Yeah, or no. I mean, like, were you listening to this before getting rid of the app?
This is what I did first.
Okay.
Well, no, you had me listen to two Incubus albums. Double the fun.
Double the Incubi.
I did Incubus as soon as we started it, as soon as you told me about it. Uh-huh. Then I did this, and then I went back to Incubus recently.
Okay. So, you think the song's long, which I can say, okay, it's repetitive, but I think the beat's catchy. I still remember it. It's fine to me, and especially compared to the rest of this album, spoiler alert, this isn't a good one to me, folks, and I don't think Jimmy's a fan either.
There's not. I mean, there's songs that I like better than this one on here.
Okay. Let's go to the next one. Escape by Enrique Iglesias. Escape me from this song, please. This... Fun fact, though, is where he met his wife, Anna Kournikova.
I like this better than the other one.
Which one? You like this one better than
Kylie Minogue? I might. I think this at least has some kind of emotion to it.
I don't. What?
Yeah.
I think this is the most, like...
It's cheesy. It's a big old slab of cheese.
But this is where he did fall in love with his now wife. But no, this is very, I don't know. It's fine. Sure. It's your favorite. It's Jimmy's favorite.
No, maybe I actually like this album. I'm gonna,
let's keep moving on. Now we got Mark Anthony.
Dave Anthony.
Dave Anthony of the Dollops Secret Identity. Mark Anthony. Now, this one, I gotta say, is pretty pretentious because it just talks about how rich he is a lot. And like, in a time of 2020 when a lot of people are struggling, this is the song to hear right now in this day and age.
Again, I would never choose to listen to it. It has at least a hook to it, and it's a little catchy. I have like some kind of memory of it.
Yeah, see, this is this part. I don't remember most of these songs. I was probably totally out on pop radio. For example, even the next song, Girlfriend. I don't remember this one that much. Do you remember it?
It even has our boy Nelly in it.
Yeah, this has to be, like, they have to be close to done at this point. Like,
we've said that, well, I mean, it's only been probably
10, it's been 10 albums, and they appeared around, I don't know, 3 or 4, let's say. But now they're just, like I said, they're cranking them out at this point. It's like, it used to be, I think, maybe 2 a year. Now I think they're doing it, like, quarterly. So, it's fine, I guess. I don't like it.
Sorry, wifey.
Yeah. Then we have another J-Lo, Jenny on the Block. I'm gonna be all right. It's fine. I don't know. I keep saying everything's fine. It just is there. I feel like this is at the point where pop music just is there.
They peaked. It's not like, the thing is, it's not like it's nothing really, like, it's not like it's catchy. It's not like it's super fun, I don't think.
Yeah. It's like I said, it's just there. It's a lot of minor stuff, too, and everyone's pretty sad or down or
just like us. It's the perfect sound. Maybe it's the maybe perfect
it is the soundtrack for 2020. Now we have it. Then we have, okay, this one, Paulina Rubio. Did you ever hear of her before?
I have not.
She is like a Shakira. Like, if you ever see the video, she looks like Shakira. Like, she was just like, oh, there's Shakira's famous, make another one.
Yeah.
And maybe she was a unique artist at one point, but they literally kind of just dressed her up as Shakira. All right, I think we're all ready for this next one. And are you looking at the list right now?
Yes, I am.
Please tell me when I go out of order if I haven't. Baja Man. Is that next?
Oh, man, it is.
Yes. This is the one that we thought was a, you could say they're a one-hit wonder, but can you be a one-hit wonder if you're on Now That's What I Call Music more than once?
Did they already do?
Huh?
Did we already do Who Let the Dogs Out?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought maybe this was before it. I don't remember.
No. This
sounds like a kid's pop song, a kid's bop song.
Yeah. It's not, it's rough. This is where this is where you had to have, I feel like pop music went on a little down curve, and then it's always like an up and down swing. And I think you had these era of like the boy bands, the Spice Girls, all those pop songs, and then it's just became what it is now with Baja.
Where are we right now in modern day pop music?
Well, nothing's coming out anymore, so everything is a plateau, or it is a plane. It is a flat plane.
There's still some things coming out.
I mean, more on the indie side, honestly. But, like, I think now it's like all the pop hits are TikToks. I mean, that's what it is right now.
I don't know what TikTok is. I mean, I do know what TikTok is. I just...
All right, let's get through this. All right, then we have Aaliyah. Right?
We do have Aaliyah.
I gotta say, I don't really like the way the track sounds like on this, but her singing, I can say, like, I can see how she could have been a very famous star in the future. And unfortunately, she would have, I think, passed pretty soon after this in that plane accident. But, like, I can see why she was, like, because, like I said, with YouTube Music on the TV, it just plays the videos. Yeah. We were watching all these videos, and wow, those early 2000 videos, those computer effects look amazing. But, yeah, like, watching her, you can see, oh, yeah, she was going to be a star. But I said, it's just the tracks these sell at this point. They sound just very stale and repetitive to me. What do you think?
You know, you're right. She had talent. Not my wheelhouse, but...
Yeah, it's not your jam.
Now this one. Some BTK.
And here's the thing about this. I don't think any of these songs are that memorable. Minus, like, even, like... None of these songs were like, oh yeah, that was the song of the year. Like, you know, like when Macarena was out, it was a big song.
Yeah, there's a reason it was on.
Even like, so, you know, and I guess we'll get back to that with like the Soulja Boy songs and stuff that are coming. Those are way down the line though.
Maybe they didn't get, was there other?
We're in 2002. We are not close to Soulja Boy.
What was, the thing is, was there stuff happening that they just didn't get the licensing to throw it on?
I don't know.
I guess we could do research.
No. I don't know. I'm going to honestly say a lot of this album is just a lot of repetitive pop music, and I feel like we're going to repeat ourselves a lot of it.
Yep. Sorry.
So let's move on to one I want to talk about before. Let's get to the little rock world with We Are All Made of Stars. So we're skipping some Celine Dion, Shakira... and stuff.
I will say, like, the Shakira one, fine.
Yeah.
But I actually, this is the Moby's, might be my favorite song on the album.
Are you really?
Moby always has reminded me of a poppier, more electronic version of Michael Stipe.
Okay. I found this to be very, like, you could tell Moby thought this was going to be, like, a big hit. Because this was after that album that sold millions of copies. Mm-hmm. It was on all those commercials. Gwen Stefani and him had that hit. And, like, this was going to be, like, his breakout. And I don't think it was.
No, it definitely wasn't. But I've always had a tender spot in my heart for old Moby.
You were always a Moby guy over Fatboy Slim.
Yes.
As they said.
Also, I remember Moby was on the Andy Dick Show.
Yeah.
And that got me. That got him some bonus points for me.
Then you have First Date. What did you think of Blink 182?
I, at this time, I feel like
this is so mad.
Was out of the Blink 182. This is post Enema of the State, right?
Yes.
Yeah. After that, they very peaked for me, and I.
I will say this coming up, after everything you got through, like I said, we skipped a lot of the other stuff. I actually was like, okay, I can take this right now because after listening to the other pop stuff that, like I said, just got really stale and repetitive, that it was dragging this whole podcast down in my soul with it.
And I think this might have been the popular stuff of this era, like more of the
rock,
pop punk rock.
Well, then our boy, you know, Lenny Kravitz is still on here,
and I still like him. He's a rocker. That Lenny's a rocker.
Again, I don't know anyone like listening to this though at this point,
you know? I feel like it's it definitely is like you take the edge off of like you take the like soul out of Gary Clark Jr. and
okay.
you get Lenny Kravitz. Like it's like a radio
commercialized
version of like
Lenny Kravitz is a guy that just has that like built. He was built for a rock star. He like made his career with "Are You Gonna Go My Way," and he's just been riding that element since. And good for him, honestly. It's obviously worked out for him because he's on every one of these.
I'd do it if I could.
Yes, absolutely. Let's talk about what the ending of the album is, and I feel like this is like that. Like there's a new Marvel villain coming up at the end of a movie. Because it ends. I was with after. I gotta say, listen to this. This was one where, like, usually in the past, there might be a collection of songs I'm like, I don't really like this that much. But there's usually one every couple that you're like, all right, this is fine. I can handle this. This one, actually, now that I think about it, it didn't have any of that slow R&B a lot anymore, right? Yeah. And, oh, yeah, we skipped the Ja Rule song again, but that's okay. And then it ends with Nickelback. And then I'm like, well, that's what our next element is. Now Nickelback's in this mix.
If Nickelback was never as overplayed as they were, like, what if you only heard the song one time in your whole life?
Okay, I'm going to say this now. I think making fun of Nickelback is, like, overdone. I think they are very successful musicians, and they're not my cup of tea. And as we hear in these later episodes, you're going to hear, like, they're pretty, their goal was figure out a way to make a hit and get a lot of money. And they did it. They were successful. So kudos to them. This song, I think, is actually, if you had to pick one Nickelback song, I would probably pick this
one. It's better than ones that, like,
later ones. Like, Photograph, it's better than those.
Who does Rockstar? Is it them or Puddle of Mud? I don't know the difference between them.
I don't know. We'll find out later.
But that's when it's like,
I think it's,
yeah. We'll get to that. But,
yeah. But I gotta say, compared to the rest of the stuff, it's not the worst. Yeah.
No, it's a gateway. It's a gateway drug.
To the next one.
Starts out harmless, and the next thing you know, you're in too deep.
All right, this one's 17 minutes too long talking about this one. And like I said, this is the point where they start to spit them out a lot faster. So it's only going to get better. We'll see how far we go before we break. In fact, maybe it's time to put a poll if we should just end our misery with this whole series now. Okay, but maybe next time. Stay tuned. For now, 11 maybe? Who knows? Ooh. All right, let's move on and let's talk about some good things. Some stuff we are listening to right now. And Jimmy, what's some albums you've been listening to over the past time? There's been a lot of new releases out and there's been a lot of old... I mean, I know you've been listening to different things, so let's just talk a little bit about that.
I have not dove too heavily into a lot of new albums. Mm-hmm. I just haven't... My feelers have been out there. I'll start out saying, of course, the new surprise drop of the Drive-By Truckers, which I actually think is better than their one that was released earlier this year.
The Unraveling was the last one. That came out in January, which felt like 2 years ago.
It did.
Yeah, it's crazy. I forgot that album even came out this year.
Did you give the new one a listen to?
This new one? The new OK?
Yeah.
Yes, I did. I listened to this one. I actually agree. I enjoyed this album a lot more than the Unraveling. I liked the Unraveling. It wasn't, I didn't think it was bad.
It was real good.
I liked how I feel like Drive-By Truckers did some different things on this album.
I feel like this is honestly, I mean, some are definitely B-sides because two of them were actually the Record Store Day album.
Of the KKK.
And that one took my baby away. The Unraveling happening. They've been playing since before the Unraveling and just decided to throw it on here.
But this new OK song that we're listening to right now, like I feel like this is a different sound for them.
Yeah. And
it reminds me of more of like a 90s rock, college rock vibe.
Yeah.
Patterson Hood singing.
I really love Cooley's song on this, The Sarah's Flame.
Which is my favorite song on this album. I really enjoyed this one the most. I like the harmonies, just like the little background vocals. Mm-hmm. Baritone, it's really good, and it's just one of those. It gives me that Late to Church vibe again. Like I put those two together. Like I actually listened to this one, and then I put Late to Church on, and it was like a good chaser.
Yeah, I really like Sea Island Lonely.
Yes,
I like the the corn part of it is definitely very reminiscent of something towards the end.
It gave me a like this part. I like the horns on this one. I actually think Sarah Flames and Sea Island Lonely are my favorite on that whole album. Yeah, I really, like I said, I was surprised by the new Drive-By Truckers album. I wasn't expecting it to be, I expected it to be good. Mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting it to be as good as I really enjoyed. Anything else that you really been listening to?
I actually have, in the car a lot when I'm with the wifey, she's been playing a lot of the new Taylor Swift album.
Okay.
Which is actually, I've had those songs stuck in my head a lot, and they're actually growing on me hardcore.
That's pretty surprising. There.
I mean, I think a lot of the songs remind me of the newest National album.
Why would that be?
No idea.
Of course. Desner was involved with the Swift album, but I honestly, the Swift album is one that I listened to once. And I haven't listened to since. And it's not like I wasn't enjoying it. Mm-hmm. It was just like I got busy with something else.
The song Peace has been stuck in my head for days.
Yeah. And so I have been.
Oh, and also, real quick. What? Really, Jerry Jeff Walker, RIP.
Oh, yeah. That just happened this week. Mr. Bojangles.
Mr. Bojangles. It's been a real tough year for Todd Snyder. He actually did a real cool tribute to him the day.
Yeah, he's lost like all of his favorites.
His dog and his two heroes.
Oh my gosh. Well, now we're chilled.
Dave's turn.
Dave's turn. Now we're all happy. Now, I honestly, this month has been pretty crazy. I've really been enjoying the new Future Island album. I think. It sounds like Future Islands, but at first I listened to it, I liked it, but the more I listen to it, it's growing on me a lot. I really enjoy it. I also think Dawes really has come back with a really strong album. I think one of their better albums since an album I like, We're All Gonna Die, but I know that hasn't been everyone's favorites, but maybe all your favorite bands, other people would say. But it's definitely one of their stronger, I think, albums, and I think it's a lot better than their last one, Passwords.
Yeah, I actually didn't give this one a shot yet. I've really grown away from them a little bit. I should give it a...
I think this one is definitely worth giving another shot. There's actually a really good... he wrote a song about St. Augustine that's just like a Taylor solo guitar song. It's really nice. It's definitely worth... I think listening, like I said, I think it's a stronger album, definitely, than Passports. And then, of course, Matt Berninger came out with his album, of course, working with Booker T in the studio.
Pity the Fool.
Huh?
Pity the Fool.
Yeah. Oh, come on. I actually, that's a terrible joke. I actually think, I was thinking about this, that I think I like... For Matt, his projects with like Elvi and this, I still think I like Elvi just as a more. I think it's just a really good, compact, fun album. This is definitely a more deep thought, Matt, in a lot of the songs, and you hear it. But it's definitely growing on me again, like most, like this album a lot. I like it. It's not. I guess I am. It's different to hear him without, like, I guess, compared to last album, with the big sounds and the big Desner, like, wall of sound that he's been doing recently. So it is nice to hear him a little more broken down and more acoustic sound.
Yeah, I feel like he can really do no wrong.
Yeah, I think no matter what, it's going to always be, if you're not a fan of Matt's voice or you're not a fan of the National, I don't think there's anything he's ever going to make that's going to really like sell you on him. But I also think if you're somebody that enjoys the National or you enjoy Matt Berninger, you're going to enjoy the album.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, there's been a lot of good, I think, albums, like I said, coming out. I mean, Sturgill's just had his bluegrass album of covers of his own stuff in bluegrass form. Did you listen to that at all?
Briefly.
It's good. It's worth it. I like it. It's different, and it still hurts me because I still think about that tour I didn't get to see that with Tyler that shut down. Yeah. And Tyler has his new album out, the pretty much traditional folk music album that he came out, all strings, and then of course he has the Long Violent History song at the end, which I actually really enjoy that song a lot. Did you listen to that one?
Uh-uh.
Oh, you should check it out. It's a good one. A Long Violent History.
I will do that.
All right. So that stuff we've been listening. The question is, which of those four albums do we think will be on the Rolling Stones top 500 next year?
Oh, none of them. It's gonna be four more Fiona Apple albums.
It's just gonna be Fetch the Bolt Cutters full of times. All right. So that is our transition to the RS top 500 albums, the new updated list.
RS, more like BS.
Well, let's get to it. So, Jimmy, what do you think? Let's talk about this list overall. What do you think?
I mean, it was fun. It's fine for a, I don't know.
I think it's first important to note that lists are just fun discussion starters.
Yes.
For Rolling Stone, it's the only way they're probably making money, because this is the most they've gotten, like, publicity-wise, probably in a long time.
So there is. It's 100% not.
They're like, they even mentioned it. They're like, our last list got 65. Like, they talk about how many views they'll get with this list.
Yeah.
And so it's creating content for us. I guess we can't complain about it. But I have one major gripe. I don't know. Let's start with what's the gripes you have with the list overall.
In general, I feel like it is very front-loaded towards modern songs, like modern albums. Like, I feel like, I don't know, songs from, like, I feel
like you think there songs should from be 2019.
I don't, not necessarily, but I just think
a cutoff date.
No, I just think if you think about it, like, long term, like how, you know, there's albums like The Wall. It's like
timeless. Yes.
Whereas songs on here, they're good. They're fine. They're not even a lot of them, to be fair. I probably only have heard of maybe half the albums on the list.
Like the modern, let's talk about Harry Styles is close to the top.
Yes.
But he's on there. And this album came out in the summertime, right?
Yes.
Like in June or something.
Yes.
I agree. I thought that album was a little too early. And now that I think about it, and I don't have this list memorized, folks, but I don't think Carly Rae Jepsen was on it. And I feel like maybe she was in there too, but like, I feel like if she wasn't on there, I feel like he shouldn't have been. But like, can't act like I listened to the album that well, but I agree with an album like that came out in June recently. I can see that argument. The albums like Billie Eilish in 2019 and Lana Del Rey, I feel like they deserve to be on it. They had their accolades. They have been acclaimed. I only can see them. I don't understand how the rankings happen. The only thing.
I just
guess
feel like
numbers.
in 10 years, is anyone going to care about Billie Eilish?
Well, I don't know. She could be there's plenty of, like, people still care about Lady Gaga, but she had really a major hit, but she's still a major pop star. Billie Eilish, I think, is going to be around because she's just that big of a star at this point. Adele came on SNL and she doesn't even have a new album yet. She's not even finished. And they're like, oh yeah, you can host SNL.
Yeah, and I think Adele's album's fine to be on here in the 500s.
Okay. But like, maybe. Okay. So your big issue is about the recent albums is maybe too soon?
Too soon, and I just feel like, don't know. I guess I was thinking more of a... I feel like it's a fine... It's doesn't have, I feel like, as much of like a complete one, like mainstream impact as like... Maybe. Maybe I'm just too much into like the album. Like I think about like...
Well, I think you also got to remember that this is collected with like music producers, artists. Like this is people in the industry. So it's not necessarily the... going to be the mainstream pop general audience what they're voting for.
I guess I was thinking of as they went around and asked people, you can take 10, 20, however many songs you get to pick. Like these are the, if you could only pick 10 albums, which 10 would you pick?
Yeah. I know what you're saying. I think, and I honestly, my opinion was, there are going to be albums on here, like, right away that I was like, I'm not going to know some of these albums. Like albums that, like, inspired the electronic movement in the 80s that came in the 70s from these...
Any old album that I didn't know, I assume it's just because I'm dumb, and it has a lot of, like...
Like, I'll be honest, like, that's that Star album...
Big Star.
Big Star. Yeah. I was like, I gotta actually listen to that album. Like, I knew a couple songs.
That's when I listed that. I mean, they did have other albums. That's another thing. There were some that I listed that should have been higher, and then there were other albums by Big Star that were higher.
Yeah, and I don't know how to, like I said, I don't, that's the only thing that confuses me is, like where some of, the, like, the, how the Kanye art, like, albums ranked, and how, like, the Rolling Stone albums ranked, and, like, you know, Sgt. Pepper's was the number one album, and now it drops. Like, I mean, and I guess that's because it's a different, probably, pile at this time.
I think that's really quick. Another thing where, like, there's a lot of songs. I was also thinking about like, albums that, like, actually had,
like see,
an impact, like, a long-lasting impact and relevance and stuff. Like, the Bon Iver for Emma, it's a good album, but
see,
I feel like it has
low enough that like
it is, but that's I'm just okay my example of why I put it. I feel like a lot, some of the albums on her, I feel like aren't going to have like be huge, like influences on like stuff to come.
Yeah. And I guess that's like, what's the most influential pop albums albums of all time. Cause then that's where, I mean, but then like, if you look at it, like, Pet Sounds is number two, and that's obviously always said as one of the most influential albums.
I agree that should be in the top maybe one.
But I gotta say, I don't disagree with saying Marvin Gaye, What's Going On, is not maybe one of the best albums. Because that's where it's like, I mean, honestly, there's so many albums, like from 1 to 50, you're looking at these albums like... I mean, Beatles, Revolver, Rubber Soul, What's Going On, Pet Sounds. Those are albums that I like. I can see why people, you know, Exile on Main Street, Joni Mitchell Blue. Like, these are Songs in the Key of Life. All those albums, like, you're like, okay, I can see why these rank as high as they do.
Yeah.
I don't understand. And this is one, like, I think Nevermind is too high. Like... I can see that being in the top 15, 20, but like it's number 6.
Yeah, that's
and I think that's a little too high.
I agree. I feel like I have a lot, like I said, a lot of the newer ones I don't think should have been as high as they are, but I feel like,
and I think Lauryn Hill, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, is 10. And I admit that album was huge, and that was a big album. It deserves to be on the list. I don't know if it deserves to be as high as number 10.
Yeah, 10th album of all time. Like, I feel like the top 10 of all time should be albums that like
Songs in the Key of Life is a top 10 album. Yes. Like when you think about how big that album is, how it still holds on to this day, I think The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, it was a good album. It was celebrated. I agree with you. I don't think it's talked about as much as Songs in the Key of Life.
Yeah.
My other issue is I love Miss Fiona Apple, but there are 4 Fiona Apple albums on here. And it's too many, I think. I can see her first album and When the Pawn being in the top 500 easily. The other albums, good albums, great albums maybe, but the top 500 of all time, and like this does kind of your argument of, I think her first two albums are albums that will stand the test of time. I think people will continue to talk about them. I think fans of Fiona Apple will continue to say that those other two albums are great albums.
But should they be on?
But should they be on the list?
I think a few that I thought, if I can rattle a few that I thought, I think it's easier to look at the ones that I feel like should have been higher than they were.
Okay.
The Stooges were at 488.
Well, they had other ones that were higher.
Yeah, but I feel like the first one was, I don't know. I feel like that's like a staple that like it's there. Some Girls by the Rolling Stones. I know they had a bunch higher too, but that was 468.
Yeah.
Like that barely made the list.
But you can't have like just like the top 50 be like 12 Rolling, you know,
you can.
8 Beatles
you
albums.
Can and you should.
You can and you should.
Damned to the Torpedoes, 230.
Yeah.
The Cars, 350.
Yeah, that should be higher. I think Miles Davis Kind of Blue was low. I mean,
about American Idiot being ahead of Dookie? Dookie was barely on the list, and American Idiot was like top half.
Yeah, that's your age there, right there. I think
is it. You think American Idiot's better than
Dookie? No, I don't. No. I do not think that. Let's get this. I'm going to censor this out. This whole conversation is going to be out. But no, I just don't think it's. Yeah, no. I can see why it's on the. I can see why it's on the list. I don't think it deserves to be rated above Dookie.
Here's another one.
I also don't think Dr. Dre the Chronic should be that high. Because like while that had big songs, I maintain there's a lot of stuff on that album that is just uncomfortable to listen to today. But I guess it is influential. I just think there's other hip hop albums that are more.
George Harrison's All Things Must Pass being at 360.
Yeah, I think you're like you're real it's like you could spend all day looking at numbers and being like, how is this? I mean, we could do this all day about why is Pixies ranked this low and da da da. But
can I say ones that I was just excited to see on the list at all?
Okay, let's do that. Let's do a little positive, Jimmy. Go,
Jason Isbell.
Southeastern. Yes, I was happy to see Jason Isbell. What else?
Several Pixies, Surfer Rosa.
Mm-hmm.
There was Pavement all over it.
Pavement was. I was surprised how much Pavement was on there.
I think that's a great just a Rolling Stone. Well.
And yeah,
they're ones I like. Cool in the '90s, you say like Pavement. Like I like Pavement. Daydream Nation, 171, baby.
Yeah, I get that one. I can see like that. That was one I was like not surprised that was on there. I still just like I don't know if like I said like I think overall the list. There are a lot of albums, I will say. I don't know if I agree with the ranking, but I can see where they're in the top 500. Where they are is maybe where I don't agree. I think the Britney Spears, the random Britney Spears album is really weird. Here's my biggest gripe, I think, with the whole list. I don't think they should have greatest hits at all. And let me set by... What I mean by greatest hits is Bob Marley greatest hits or any artists that actually already have albums on the list. I think it's weird because if you have Bob Marley legends on there, so we're saying greatest hits are allowed, okay? It's fair game. So Bob Marley legends is like in the top 50 or maybe top 100.
Mm-hmm.
So you're telling me, but then... What about Bob Dylan's greatest hits album that everyone has?
Yeah.
What about Tom Petty's greatest hits album that's I guarantee you if somebody has a Tom Petty album, they only have one. It's that '90s greatest hits album with the red cover and stuff. That like those are greatest
Forrest
hits.
Gump soundtrack.
Well, yeah. I mean, it might as well. And like my issue with the greatest hits is I don't think they should be on there at all because they take away from actual. albums that was purposely recorded to be an album. Greatest Hits is a collection. I am okay where it's like Buddy Holly or Fats Domino or artists that were in the 50s and before, or like collections of songs of, like, you know, Robert Johnson or whatever. Whatever, you know, they had collections of just old songs.
Were there any live albums on?
I don't think so.
And do you think, like, the band, if there was, should have, like...
But then there are the Basement Tapes. The Basement Tapes was in there. And so... But like I said, I just don't think the greatest hits... I'm okay with compilations, like I said, of old artists that didn't really... It wasn't making albums was the thing. It was more just the singles.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. But, like, it was weird to see Bob Marley Legends on it. Because, like I said, that this opens the gate of why it was... You know, why isn't Tom Petty's Greatest Hits on there?
What's Bob Marley's live one? Doesn't he have a... I'm blanking on it.
There's Bob Marley Live.
Is that...
Yeah. Yeah. That's a big one. That might even be on there. I don't know. But I know Bob Marley's Exodus was on there. But I know Legend was, of course, really high on there. So that was my biggest complaint, was just, like, the Greatest Hits collections. Like, I was like, ugh. Okay. It's weird to me because it's like I said, it takes away from albums. I mean, you already have Fiona Apple eating up four spots. And it was just like, and like I said, I like Fiona Apple. It was just there. Those were weird things to me. And also the amount of Kanye albums that got on. And like I said, I like Kanye West, but I was like, it was unbelievable how so many albums, but my favorite one, Life of Pablo, I don't think made the list. Which I thought was weird, but I'm like, whatever. But, like, also the ranking of the Kanye albums I wasn't a fan of. But I thought it had... I feel like it does touch... Okay, the biggest, I think, error is Warren Zevon.
I was going to say, Excitable Boy.
Not the being on there. Snub. Yeah. Yeah, definitely ridiculous. I mean, John Prine was on there. It was just really unbelievable, you know, that I was like... Because I was thinking about that. I was like, I don't think I saw Zevon. And then you said it. I was like, I don't think he was on there.
I thought he was, like, the more I saw him, like, oh, that's going to be, like, top. I guess it has to be top 50. All right. And I'm like, top, number one. Number one?
That's weird. I can't believe that didn't get on there. But, yeah, you know, and I guess they did what they wanted to do. They created conversations about themselves. They got people to look at it. They got people to talk about it. Obviously, we're doing it. And it is interesting, like, I will say, like, real quickly, I didn't go through the whole list, but it'll be interesting to see where this list is and to see who you are. Because, like, it's totally, like, the next list, Harry Styles might not be on there at all. Like, those high, yeah. Like, there's a lot of people that get bumped off this list.
That is true. I would be more okay with this if they did it. I mean, they wouldn't do it more often because no one would care. But, like, if you look at it as more of a fluid list, I guess I'm more okay with it. Mm-hmm. Like, right now, pick your favorite albums of right now, mm-hmm. instead of pick your favorite albums of all time. Like, I feel like if you throw in all time, then it should be more of a static list. And, like, as it gets older, it can almost climb up more as it...
I think it would be cool to see them do a more concise list. Do, like, a top 100 albums, but take all of the albums that are on this list and then let... you know, like, people vote for other albums to get included. And then make, like, a fan-compiled list and this list and combine them and see where it comes out.
I guess, I'd be okay with this list more if I look at it as a lens of, you know, pick the top 10 songs, the top 10 albums you're listening to right now.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be an excuse for why it's more current-friendly.
Right.
I was going to say one more thing. Another album that we talked about that I thought might be lower on it, The Ghost of Great Highway,
mm-hmm.
I feel like should have been somewhere.
Well, okay. And that's where...
And I feel like that's also... I don't know. I always thought that was one that, like...
But there's other albums. Like, I don't think... And maybe I'm wrong. I don't think... Was Clap Your Hands Say Yeah? I don't think that was on there. And that's an album that I feel like...
Like the music execs and stuff would...
Would have picked. And same with... Well... The
National?
The National. Like, this might be fanboy, I know. But I think Boxer or High Violet are... One of those albums should have been... Like, those are examples. I'm like, So you're telling me Boxer, High Violin aren't on this list, but we have greatest hits albums. We have, that's where I was a little iffy. We have, like I said, four, like, Sorry Fiona Apple, I love your first two albums. And I like I said, I like those other two albums. But High Violet or Boxer, I think, are more acclaimed albums in general conversation than Fiona Apple's third and fourth album. But it is what it is. And this is what they came up with. I'm not a famous music producer. I just run a podcast.
Yeah, correct.
World-renowned listen-to podcast.
I'm also I'm also surprised that if Nirvana was five or whatever it was that
six
high,
or something,
I feel like I'm surprised there wasn't more of the 90s grunge anywhere on the list.
You had Smashing Pumpkins in there, didn't you? And you had, I think you did.
There was one. I think Siamese Dream.
Or Melancholy.
I don't think Melancholy was on it.
Yeah. Soundgarden was in there, wasn't
it? Was it? If it was, that's what I was thinking of, that I thought, if you're going to put Nirvana that high, I'm surprised there wasn't more.
Yeah, I will say you might be right there.
A Hole was real high.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one. I was like, Hole is way too high. Like, I was generally like, what are we doing? That was one that I was generally like, is that a top 500 album, first of all? And if it is, I don't know. It was. You're right. That was a little way too high.
Dave said that, not me, wifey.
Sorry. I like the When I Wake Up. It's not even on that album. All right. So let's get to Jimmy's favorite band.
Yes.
Ink You Buy. So last episode, I forget how we started to talk about Incubus and just random stuff.
But then they might have been called Music, maybe.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they were right on it. So I decided mid-ep that my next album choice was Incubus. I decided to pick Incubus. So I just first picked Science, and then listening to Science, I was like, well, I don't really want to go through this album track by track. There's some instrumental stuff we can listen to a little bit, but I wanted to just give Jimmy the early experience of Incubus. And then I just asked him if he would be a trooper and listen to Morning View to kind of compare and contrast.
And luckily we had an extended break, so I had a good month to get all this done.
Yes, but we recorded our episodes sooner than 4 months, which is a new record for us. So, what did you think of this first album?
My very first reaction was,
I hate Dave.
Neutered Corn or Rage Against the Machine.
Okay.
Like, it has that funk, like a heavy, heavy funkness to it, but I feel like it's just missing, I don't know, something.
Some chutzpah.
Chutzpah.
Yeah. I think this is, first of all, a more nostalgic album for me. Like I said, this was an album that I actually got more into Incubus because of this album and Morning View. Make Yourself, which is the one that kind of in-betweener, that kind of broke them out on like the MTV and all that stuff, was the one that they got famous with. But this is the one, I think, they were kind of in the scene a little bit, touring like rocks. But this is the one where they started to get more, I think, heads towards them.
Here's what I'll say about this album, the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I can see how if you found this, I can understand why someone would like this. If you found it in like your sweet spot of like that high school, like late middle school, early high school.
I still listen to it.
Where like it's like where you're a duckling and you imprint on whatever music you're listening to.
Yeah.
I can get it.
Yeah.
I did not imprint on this in that era, and now it's just,
yeah. And like I said, I think Science is an album that I think it's a good capture of what the style of rock and roll was at this time. I think it is still more listenable, and I think that's because they incorporate more funk elements into their music.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think, you know, the drummer, Jose, I don't know how to say it. This is a crazy thing. I was trying to find out how to pronounce his last name. And every interview I started to watch, he goes, hey, my name's Jose from Incubus. And I was like, okay, let's watch another one.
He doesn't know how to pronounce his last
name.
Well,
no, I've never, no one else says it, and I don't want to say it wrong. So I'm just going to say, the drummer, Jose from Incubus, is really good. And so as somebody, like I said, is a percussionist, I can find, listen to that because it grabs my attention.
Yeah. I will say a lot of the, when they get funky, they kind of remind me of like Chili Peppers-ish.
Yeah. And I think the actual musicians behind the band are talented. Like, mm-hmm. I think all everything sounds good. They sound like they know what they're doing.
Yeah. I feel like they're a good heavy jam band.
Yes.
And I just don't have a taste. I was thinking about this earlier. I don't think I really have a taste for most jam bands.
You're not a jam band guy.
I can't think of a jam band that I...
You're listening to.
I love.
Okay. Did you ever go to a jam band show?
No.
Okay. See, I'm somebody that I've gone to some, and I've every concert I would say I've had fun,
mm-hmm.
but I can't act like I am also a jam band guy either. So this is not a jam band podcast for, I think, for that reason. That's why it's called Jimmy Dave's Jam Bands, but... I can see what you're saying about the heavy metal jam band, because they do have that element, and I also think, I can see what you're saying, and they do have these long tracks of experimental stuff.
Yeah, which, I'm fine, like, it's fine, you can do your, I'm not going to judge anyone for liking mm-hmm. them, I just also, like I said before, it's like, I have no idea, I feel like every song he just... You know, sings about what he's like, hey, there's a tree over there. And, like, I feel like there's no, he never, like, has a story or, like, a point or meaning behind
yes.
any of the lyrics.
And as I always say, folks, I'm the last person to listen to the lyrics. So this is one, I don't know. I kind of feel like you can do that with Ed. If you really want to be nitpicky about lyrics overall,
I know. I
can
totally,
you can do that
you can
with any
you can
artist.
Call me out and pick out all my... But I feel like a lot of bands, they'll have like on both albums, there wasn't a
song
that
where
like,
you're like,
really,
this
like,
song really pulls me.
Grabbed me in.
Okay.
Yeah. And I will also say, I know... who's Boyd?
Brandon Boyd.
I know my wife loves Incubus and loves him with his shirt off.
Okay.
And I will say, if I would have listened to this back when I was a 16-year-old girl, maybe I would like it a lot better. Like,
yeah.
Oh, look how cute he is.
Oh, that's what I got into Incubus for. Yeah. I mean, I just saw Brandon Boyd and it was just overheeled. But no, like I said, I think Incubus is a interesting... Because also I think what's interesting about Incubus is they have a fan base. I think they, to this day, they can still tour and they still are going to bring a good crowd to go see them. But they are never going to be a Rolling Stone darling. Like, you know, there are artists that, like, you know, Bob Dylan can never make a bad album, right? I mean, we know that's impossible. But also, like, Rolling Stone will never give Bob Dylan ever a bad rating.
Did these guys fill a Sublime hole? Like, was that, did that how the timeline worked out?
No, I don't think they filled a Sublime hole.
I don't know. I really don't know how the...
No, they were a little bit... Because they were playing as a band around that time. But I don't think they were the replacement Sublime.
I'm not saying, like, I meant like fans, like, oh, we don't have Sublime anymore. What are we gonna?
I think they're probably, I mean, I'm sure there are a collection of people that like Sublime and like Incubus.
Yeah.
I mean, I was one of those people.
Bust out the Venn diagram.
Yeah, I guess, right. So let us know on social media if you are part of the Incubus Sublime fan club.
Other or both.
But that was, I think, interesting because I think that gives you an element of what they were. And then as they transition to Morning View, it becomes, I think, a little more less of the hard and more a little pop element, a little more funk element. But then I think we get to what is probably their most well-known album. It was the most hyped album. It was the one they probably had the most attention towards coming out. I mean, of course, they did have it after with the album after this. A Crow Left and Murders. But this is, I think, a more polished album. Yeah. I think, and you were talking about this before the episode, about the last album, Science, was like a lot of ideas and different styles all over the place, like little techno beat breakdown tracks, and then it's going into a funk element.
Yeah.
This album's more focused.
Yeah. I feel like they, do you think they have a producer, probably? I don't know if they had.
I think they had them in both, but this one, they did talk about how before they weren't as big to have the time that they wanted to really record.
Yeah.
So this one, they actually recorded like 30 songs and then picked 12. Like, so they had, this was where they actually had the time. They recorded in a beach in California, and that's, you know, the album cover is, I think, from that session.
Yeah.
And so I think from this, like, I remember this being on MTV. I remember this coming out. I remember this getting a lot of hype. And going back to it, I had to say, I was pleasantly surprised how much listened to it again. I still enjoyed it. And this one, I think, doesn't sound as aged as, I think, Science. I still enjoy Science, but I can say it does sound a little outdated and aged in how it's recorded and its style. But, so what do you think about Morning View? Since Jimmy, like we said, I made him listen to Incubus pretty much. I feel like he's been avoiding Incubus his whole life.
Yeah, again, it's...
And I didn't think Jimmy was going to be an Incubus fan after this.
I don't hate it. I just don't... It's not my cup of tea. I don't love it. Like I said, I like the
first... But you said Carrie likes it.
She does.
Okay.
I like the first 15 seconds of most songs.
Okay.
Like, they're very good at intros.
Yeah.
And then Brandon Boyd starts to sing.
And then he sings and you start analyzing his lyrics deeply, but not anyone else.
I mean, it's like one of those things, like his tone, it's, I feel like he's the exact opposite of...
It was this song, Wish You Were Here, was on the Now. That's,
yeah.
Yeah.
He's the exact opposite of the National for me.
Again, I'm not saying I'm listening to I'm not listening to Incubus as in-depth as I am listening to the words of Joni Mitchell. But I think, as I said, Morning View is an album that I think withholds... I think this is probably their strongest album. And I can't act like I listened to much after their next album. And I listened to, Dig. I know they came out with Dig two albums later, which was a big hit. That was a big radio hit. I bet you that will be on one of the Now series coming up, if we get that far. But I think comparing this album, I think Incubus is a band that will, I think, always get some respect from a general audience, but will always kind of, maybe some people will put them in that late 90s, early 2000s rock crowd and just group them there. Or somebody like me, I guess, that will hold them a little bit higher than that. And then there's people that will just love them for the rest of their lives.
Here's a positive maybe spin I'll put on it. If I had to listen to this song, if I had to listen to this album,
yeah,
I think I would grow to like it eventually.
Okay. But you're not going to listen to it anymore.
I don't think I want to. I don't want to put that much time and effort in it. But like, if it was listening to this or nothing and I had it on, I think eventually would appreciate it. Which, as a way to keep on doing the That's What I Call Music, I did hear this other idea that someone did, which we could do if we scrap the That's What I Call Music.
Yeah.
Some guy only listened to Celine Dion for, I think, like a month.
Oh, God, no.
And like eventually grew to appreciate it. So we could just pick a band and we have to listen to it.
Just that band.
And figure out
what. Wait, you just listened to that band?
Yeah. You get a band, and you listen to the band.
Just that band.
Like, a band that, for some reason, people... Like, Celine Dion. People love her or don't get it.
Okay. And so you want to do it with Incubus, is what you're saying. You just want to listen to Incubus for a month. Stop. Sounds good. All right, guys, next month.
No, I get to pick your band.
Oh, God, no. Oh, I get to pick your band, you get to pick mine? That sounds like even worse. Oh, no. Let's see, what would I make you... I would make you listen to, like, Prodigy. Just, like, or, like... Crystal Method, like just the techno of techno. I don't know. That would be cruel. Anyway, so Incubus, was it as bad as you thought it was going to be?
It was probably...
Like, what did you think about, like... Okay, let's take RUN. Like, what do you think about some of the songs that are a little more pop-based, a little
What's their last song? Umbrella?
Under My Umbrella.
I think I like that one okay. Maybe it's...
The last song is the actual Aqueous Transmission with the crickets.
Before that one. Bum, 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 bum. I mean, this might be good.
I like this one, actually. I like that it ends with the crickets in the background for, like, 30 seconds.
I love... This is my favorite part of the album.
Because he's not singing?
No.
Under My Umbrella.
Maybe I was just... Maybe I just started to like him. And now that's why I like the back of the album more. Because I was...
Oh, so what about... Okay, you were saying Under My Umbrella.
Yeah.
This one was okay to you?
I think I still... Like, this was one where I'm like, okay, this is okay.
Yeah. I gotta say, making myself and making you revisit Incubus, I thought was A... better than me having to than going back to Dude Ranch. I think my visit back to Incubus Land was much more enjoyable than going to the good old Dude Ranch again. But I gotta say, like, listening to them, I was like, maybe I will check out some other albums of theirs and see what they've done since. And they are a group that, like, I have said, I will go see them live if the ticket's the right price. And recently, before COVID, they were coming around, and the ticket wasn't the right price. It was a little like, I was like, this is a little too much. I don't really want to spend this much to see that.
I feel like they'd be a good bar band.
I think they're a little bit bigger than a bar band.
Not
too,
like, you know? I mean, no, I know that. But I mean, the style of music they play for me is a good bar band. Like, I feel like they're good musicians.
See, I think they would be fun in an outdoor event. Like, I think, like, a... Like, playing, like, a smaller, like, venue stage. Not, like, a huge stadium, but a smaller outdoor stage, I think, like, would be good. Like, playing by Harrisburg, like, at, you know, where, like, where the Jason Isbell is playing at the Harrisburg baseball stadium, basically.
Yeah.
Like, a small minor league baseball stadium. I think that'd be a good place to see Incubus.
Mm-hmm.
Barnstormers. Let's go, Barnstormers. Bring in Incubus.
Yeah, I'm not talking about... specifically Incubus, it's just like the sound in general.
Okay,
I feel like it's good. They're good. They're it just doesn't have any, for me personally, it doesn't have any teeth. It doesn't.
Do you think the Sturgis Festival asked Incubus before they asked Smash Mouth to play this year? I don't know why I thought about that, but like I could see them. Like I feel like Sturgis probably had a list of bands, right?
Uh-huh.
They're like, all right, Hoobastank, are you good? They're like, no, we're not doing that. It's unsafe. Incubus, can you do our festival? They're like, no, man, it's not safe.
Do you think Sturgis really... Do you think... What's that Venn diagram look like? People who go to Sturgis and Incubus.
I never really equated Sturgis and Smash Mouth. So after the bar has been set at Smash Mouth, I mean... You're telling me you can't see Incubus there? I could see Incubus there before I could see...
I could see Kid Rock there.
Well, yeah. I mean, that I could see Kid Rock being born in Sturgis, honestly. With Ted Nugent on the side. But, listen, that was a weird way to end the episode, but I guess we'll find out. All right, folks. I think that's going to wrap it up because we are just rambling. We will see you next time with our next episode.
Yay! Bye.
Bye.